Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Thursday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. Appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It'd be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Randolph.
It'd be really weird.
You'd do it for Randolph Scott.
Really weird.
Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's only a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. The Mississippi Beef Council is loving this thread on Maroon and White Daily right this second. People are going into detail on their favorite steaks, and you can do it too. First off, you just got to sign up for Maroon and White Daily, which is a great thing to do. But secondly, talk about your favorite steak. My favorite steak, I think, of all time was the one we had 2 weeks ago. I think that's the best steak I ever had. I'm still
processing. Every single, I feel like every man is like, well, I could cook a better steak.
No. It's the quality of meat.
It's the quality of meat. That. And it's the experience. Yeah, I don't get to go to a restaurant, sit down, and have a nice meal like that often.
I don't have a broiler that reaches 1,200 degrees.
I can grill a better steak.
What I would say is I cook a good steak, but is it better than some of these super high end restaurants? No, it is not.
It's also totally different. Not grilled on a charcoal grill or
on
a pellet.
I don't grill steaks.
You don't grill steaks?
A cast iron skillet guy for a steak.
Oh, that's an excellent choice. That's what I do too.
Yeah. So anyway, I don't care how you like to cook your steak. Just cook your steak. And that's what I say that, and so do the 5,000 beef farmers here in this state. You need to be helping them out with the purchase of a steak today. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends, the Mississippi Beef Council. Now I want a steak. Can't have a steak at 11:30.
I always want a steak. So
11:30 in the afternoon on Wednesday is a little. You're pushing it for a steak. But you know what? If you want to do it, I'm not gonna work against you.
I would eat it.
I would too. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com. That's the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. Great interlocking gear at College Corner. Two locations to serve you in the Jackson area. Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowway by the Half Shell. You can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. First game is we're just about a month away. It's time to start getting your gear together. Don't show up in that same old ratty polo you've been rocking since Sylvester Croom was the head coach. Get yourself something new now at College Corner. Restaurant Tyler, talk about a place that makes a great steak. Restaurant Tyler, Starkville, Mississippi, the best restaurant in town for lunch, dinner, or Sunday brunch, the best meal in town. Always at Restaurant Tyler. We love a trip to Restaurant Tyler. We love to head over there and grab lunch. We love to grab dinner there. I haven't gotten brunch there in a while. I need to go back and get some brunch. Next time you go to Restaurant Tyler for brunch, you holler at me. I'll join you.
We'll do that.
I'll join you. And I'll have a good time, like I always do. I have never – Restaurant Tyler is in a tier of restaurants where I can't remember ever complaining. You know, even when I worked at Papa John's, they were like, this is not as good as it should be when I would order it and I wasn't there. Restaurant Tyler, never, not once have I been like, just kind of mid today. Never. Always great. Always good. Enjoy a fantastic meal next time you're at Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only how they're going to help you invest and manage your money, but how they're going to help you prepare for the future. Now, more than ever, you have questions about your money. You need answers. You need them on your schedule. You need to talk to a banker who knows you the same way they know your money. Make it easy on yourself. Make it Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. We have a really good show lined up today. We've got some people to talk to. You're going to hear from Coleman Hutzler, Mississippi State defensive coordinator from yesterday's Mississippi State Media Days. Later in the show, opponent preview, David Nuno joins us from Texags Radio to talk about the Texas A&M Aggies. But let's start with media day, because we're supposed to be breaking down linebackers today, Robbie, and that's kind of apropos with Hutzler being the linebackers coach. This audio that we're going to hear in a bit, he doesn't really talk about the linebackers, but that's regardless. I assume you guys want to hear that what he had to say. I like this group though. I like this linebacker group. I mentioned yesterday when we did the rumblings that I think Zachary Tillman will end up being this team's leading tackler. That is a guy I am super high on. That is a guy I see taking a big step this year and becoming the next great Mississippi State linebacker. If you said pick a guy who doesn't have a lot of production coming into this season that you think will be a star by the end of it, Tillman would be the guy I would pick. I like Jalen Smith. That's a guy who was playing SEC football at a high level when he left Tennessee. I know that Tennessee wanted to keep him, so that makes me excited about him. I think that Brandon Jennings was a solid player for Mississippi State a year ago. I mentioned that interview I did with David Nuno. I asked him about Malik Sylla, and he said he thinks that's a guy who's going to have a big year for Mississippi State. He said that A&M would have liked to have kept him here. So again, we've been talking about some of these guys that they didn't really have great production at their previous stop. But when I hear things like the coaching staff wanted to keep him, that gives me some hope that this guy can play. Gallette, I'm interested to see what he looks like. I think Nevaeh Sanders can be a pass rush specialist for Mississippi State. And look, if Nick Mitchell is your fifth or sixth linebacker, I mean, you could do a lot worse than that guy who's been, he hasn't been great, but he has at least been reliable at times. I think this is a pretty good group. I think this is an SEC caliber linebacker group.
You lost your second leading tackler overall in Stone Blanton. I think you got much better at the position. And that's not to say like you push Stone Blanton out and you're better,
Right.
but
They wanted him
I just
back,
think
yeah.
they added pieces that's going to make them a deeper, more talented group.
Right.
And you're going to get Zachary Tillman more reps now, which is not a bad thing. The more reps he got last year, the better he looked. So he's going to be a big piece of things. I certainly think Jalen Smith's going to have a big year for Mississippi State. He was All SEC freshman team, and one of those just like Malik Sylla that Tennessee did not want him to go. They wanted him to stick around. He decided to hit the transfer portal. That was a huge win for Coleman Hutzler, probably one of his biggest wins since he's been here as in terms of recruiting. And then I really like the Jack position. I think Brandon Jennings is poised for a breakout season. He had a What he did last year, I think, went under the radar a little bit because the defense struggled, but I thought he flashed and did some good things. And of course, whenever he was coming up, when he was at Maryland, the first part of his freshman year, he was one of the best freshmen in the ACC. He's bounced around a little bit. I think he is a guy that is a lot like Jamil Burrows to me. He's getting kind of a second chance at this, and I think he's making the most of it. I expect him to lock down that Jack position, but I also expect you to see a lot of competition there, and they'll be able to rotate some guys. So, just like the defensive line, the linebackers are a group that's going to have a lot more depth this year and more talent, and it's going to look more like an SEC group. Last year, a lot of those guys were getting steamrolled, and they were stepping in front of a running back and getting stomped into the ground pretty much. I think this is going to look more like a competent SEC linebacker crew. It's going to look, they're going to be a little more bigger. They're going to be more physical. They're going to be faster. This group is going to look like they belong a little more than they did last year. And that's a big plus for them. So I like them. Nick Mitchell, we haven't talked much about him. He had a big season last year. I think he's going to have more competition there at his position, but it's going to be a group that I feel like you could go too deep at least with them, and you could run some guys in there and rotate and not miss much of a beat. And that's exactly what Jeff Lebby and Coleman Hutzler were trying to accomplish in the offseason, is building a roster on the defensive side that is much deeper, that can help you practice more, that can keep guys more healthy. It's going to be a group that I think helps them in the front seven with that defensive line. And just like the defensive line, like I've been saying with that group, it's going to make everybody better. Linebackers are going to do the same thing. They're going to help out the secondary. They're going to help out the defensive line. It's just going to be, much more manageable situation.
You're right on the money when you talk about a lot of times last year when a running back would get the ball against Mississippi State, the first defender he would encounter was a linebacker, not a defensive lineman, because those guys were just getting eaten alive at the line of scrimmage. And so, Stone Blanton, a lot of times Yeah, we got on Stone Blanton a lot last year, but when these running backs in this conference are running downhill at you from the time they've gotten the hand off the ball, no one has made them slow up, cut, do anything. They're just going straight downhill. Those are tough tackles to make. Blanton is a guy State would have liked to have had back. He would have provided a ton this year. But I think, like you mentioned, Jalen Smith is a guy who I feel very confident being able to come in and fill that role. Jennings, Smith, and Tillman, if that's your starting three, that's a good starting three. That's three guys that could play elsewhere. They could start elsewhere. And then you've got some guys, the next group, that's Silla and Gallette, Sanders. We'll see about Nick Mitchell. We'll see about Fat Forrest. These are the unproven guys. And then you have Tyler Lockhart, who we talked about a good bit on Wednesday. I'm sorry, not on Wednesday, on Monday. And then I asked him about you asked about him at the at Media Days. We'll go to that audio in just a minute. I just feel like physically Tyler Lockhart, he looks ready. Now, does that mean he is ready? No, it doesn't, but he looks ready. And I think that he provides a little explosive athlete, you know, that State has lacked in the past couple of years at that linebacker position.
Yeah, and I don't know if he's quite Willie Gay. I've compared him in some ways to him. I don't think he's quite as athletic as Willie, or that kind of level. But I think that he is a guy that can come in. He's got the attributes to play early, like a Willie Gay. And so it's going to be interesting. The good news is, like, I don't think you have to force him in there, and that's a really good thing for Mississippi State coming into last year. You know, he probably is a guy that's playing for you right away as a true freshman, but you've put your roster in a place where the crown jewel of your class pretty much is not a guy that you have to rely on right away. I think that's a good thing for Mississippi State, that you don't have to throw Tyler Lockhart in the fire. But it's like I asked yesterday on the freshman, like, and Coleman Hutzler says, you'll hear in the interview, that if they can help us win in some form or fashion, they will play. So if he's a guy, he had the spring, and I thought he was solid in the spring. He stood out at times when we were able to see him. That's when you know guys are getting it pretty quickly if they're a freshman, and you can notice them on the field without having to look for them. That's a pretty good sign, and I thought he did some good things in the spring game. So it would not shock me to see him out there playing for Mississippi State this year, whether it be on special teams or whatever. Any kind of experience he could get would be big. So we'll see what happens there, but he's definitely a guy that you brought him in the spring. He looked the part physically. He got that under his belt. Now he's coming to training camp, and it's a little bit different. Things have slowed down for him a little bit. This will be a big training camp for him to try to solidify a spot, whether it be on special teams or getting into the rotation one way or the other. But I think he's going to be a player for Mississippi State before it's all said and done.
There's another player I want to talk about who has not arrived, or as I guess he's there now, but wasn't in the spring, and that's Tyshawn Willis, the other freshman. This was an explosive athlete in high school, but, as we all know, played at the 1A level. Now, the one thing we said throughout the recruiting process is when you have an SEC athlete playing at the 1A level, his stats better be crazy. They were. They were absolutely insane. But missed the spring. Can he be a guy that can make any kind of impact this year, or is that more likely a redshirt candidate?
Just remains to be seen. I mean, that's what this training camp is for. I mean, you've seen guys emerge in training camp that you didn't really know were capable of doing it, or they're ahead of schedule. We've seen guys that we expected to play that just they didn't get it yet. I go back to 2013, my first training camp that I was covering Mississippi State, 2013. We got a chance to watch a lot of practices back then with Dan Mullen. And day one, Bear Wilson was a man out there. Like, you could just see there was something there with him. And that wasn't somebody that I anticipated right away getting in there and making a difference for Mississippi State. We all thought that he was a raw wide receiver that in time could be really good. But he showed up that first day and was mossing people. And that year he helped Mississippi State. I don't think they get to a bowl game without Bear Wilson. So I think that there's guys that they show up to camp and they have those physical attributes. Tyshawn Willis has things that you can't teach. He was a player at Velma Jackson that on the 1A level was just a monster, but that was 1A football. This is the SEC. You're not going up against Ethel and French Camp and Knox Pater. No offense. Shout out to my guy Caleb Kelly over at Knox Pater. But this is a totally different atmosphere. And it is for all these freshmen. It doesn't matter if it's 1A or 7A, making that jump is very difficult. So we'll see how he does. But certainly, I remember last summer seeing him in person, and I was really surprised just how big he was. I actually thought there was a chance he could form into a defensive lineman and a defensive end, and that's still a possibility, I guess. But these first few days are going to be big for him. Is his head going to be swimming, or is he going to just feel right at home? We've seen guys be able to handle it. We've seen guys take a year or two. So that's going to be one to watch for sure. But there's things there that you can't teach that are really intriguing, and obviously was basically the running back for Velma Jackson, put up monster numbers on offense, put up monster numbers on defense, was Mr. Football in 1A. But this is a different journey. So the first few weeks are going to be big for him. How does he handle hitting that brick wall, so to speak, of the SEC?
All right, let's go now to to yesterday's media day event and this conversation with Coleman Hutzler, Mississippi State defensive coordinator. Obviously, a lot more big picture stuff than just this linebacker room, but I know you guys want to hear that that interview, so let's go to that now.
Coach, just now that you had a chance to look at spring and go through the summer, talking to guys, what's your outlook on the defense this year?
Very excited. You know, obviously excited about the additions we were able to make in January and through the recruiting cycle. Both, you know, portal and high school. Get those 15 practices in spring ball. You get a feel for where you're at and what you have. We got a ton of improvement to make through fall camp, but very excited.
You obviously had a ton of changeover, and you guys brought in a lot of depth, different positions. But what's the biggest difference you think in this defense this year as opposed to last year and what you saw?
I think it starts up front. You know, in this league and really just in the game of football in general. You've got to be able to win up front, and say it all the time. People say it, big people beat up little people, and you know it starts with your D line. So we were able to add a ton of depth and a ton of great pieces on the interior, as well as edge players and pass rushers. And so excited about that.
When you evaluated lines the too. Defense last season, what were some of the things you noticed that caused some of the issues you guys had defensively?
You know, we talk a lot about effort, technique, and execution. Those are our three core values for us as a defense. I was proud of our effort throughout most of the year. You look at from game one to game 12, our effort never wavered. And to be able to do that through a tough season says a lot about our players, their identity, what they believe in. The technique and the execution is where we got to make, you know, those improvements. And so that's been our focus through the offseason. You look, you know, at the offseason as a chance to reflect on the season before and you know, attack the things you need to attack, and really the technique and execution were the big part.
Off the field, you guys brought in Coach McIntyre and Coach Rhodes. How do they kind of factor into to your operation now?
Great resources for me. You know, former head coaches, former defense coordinators, great minds in the game of football, been doing it a long time. And so for me, they've been great resources to lean on, as well as our staff and our players in general. You know, they're able to coach the players and interact throughout all three levels, and so they've been a huge addition.
The addition of Coach Dancy, you were talking about the defensive line. How has he and Coach Turner, what have they changed up front working together now?
Yeah, I mean, the way we've split it, Coach Dancy has the defensive ends and the Jack, the outside linebacker, for us, and Coach Turner has the interior guys. They work well together. Coach Dancy's been a great addition. Done a great job with our players, had a great spring, you know, saw great improvement from a lot of guys who we're going to need to take a big step forward, you know, this fall. and saw a jump in our pass rush and just the production there through the spring. So excited to get Coach Dancy back, you know, home in Mississippi and for him to be a part of our staff.
You've been coaching for a long time, but this is your second year being the full-time defensive coordinator. Is there anything personally you feel more confident in going into this season as opposed to last?
Yeah, I mean, you learn every year, right, that you do this. And so when you look at, you know, from one year to the next, you evaluate what you did well, what your struggles were. And so, you know, you're constantly learning and in a constant state of hunger to learn and to improve. So definitely things that you know, I took away. I think definitely things that our defense and our players, you know, are excited to improve on from last year.
Is there anything that changes for y'all defensively this year, specifically maybe up front, or do y'all plan on using more four down linemen, or what's that alignment look like?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, we have the ability with our Jack outside linebackers, Brandon Jennings, right, Malik Silla, you know, the guys that we've added, to be able to play both three down and four down. And so, you know, we're going to continue to do that. You sit in one front all year long, you're a sitting duck. So got to be able to change the front up, both on the offensive line, on the quarterback, and change the picture. So we're going to continue to be multiple.
Just our spring observations there in the casual. It looked like the defense is a little faster than last year. Not taking away from the guys you had last year, but the speed seemed to be. Is that physical, or is it just more knowledge of the system?
You know, I think it's growth through everything, right? You grow through the additions we made in the portal. You grow through another winter conditioning and summer conditioning and another season with, you know, Coach Shad and his staff down in the weight room. So it's hard to say one thing, but, you know, we've gotten bigger and gotten faster, like you said.
Pass rush was a real issue last year. You went out in the portal and kind of addressed that. Based on your own spring observations, you know, how do you feel about the progress in that respect?
Very excited, you know, very excited about our ability, you know, to get to the quarterback, to affect the quarterback. We brought in several guys, like you mentioned, that have those natural skill sets, both on the edges at defensive end and Jack, you know, linebacker, but also interior rushers. And so, you know, all four guys, when rushing the quarterback, got to work together. And we can create pressure from both inside and outside.
What's the health like on your group right now?
Health? Good. I'm excited. You know, we feel like we're in a really good spot. Hopefully stay that way. And that's, you know, huge in fall camp and as you're building up to the season. But really excited about it.
You're fortunate to have a lot of older players and some depth at those positions. But is there an opportunity for some of those younger guys that have really kind of stood out to you to get on the field early, some of the freshmen maybe?
Yeah, I mean, I've told freshmen everywhere I've been, if you can help us win, you're going to play, right? And so I don't care how old you are or how young you are, if you have the ability and show the, you know, ability through practice and through scrimmages and all those things to help us win football games, why wouldn't I play? And so age is really just a number, and you know, if a guy continues to show from spring ball to now, or a guy that even got here in the summer, that he can help us win, we're going to put him in a position to do so.
Anybody that's impressed you so far in that regard, some of those freshmen?
No, I mean, I think, you know, the guys that came in mid-year, you know, that's a great head start for them. You know, the opportunity to come in and get a winter workouts and get 15 practices under your belt, get the install, get all those things. That puts you in a position and sets you up to you know, have a chance. And the guys that got here this summer, we'll see how, you know, they do. They had a great summer. How do they, you know, take on all the things when you start putting the pads on and installing and all that?
Going back to our spring interviews and summer interviews with guys, one of the constant themes they said that you stressed to them is we can't go 2-10 again. Is that what you've been pushing with the guys?
You know, the off season is a time through winter, through spring, to reflect on the season before, right? The message, you know, today, right, as we come in and going forward is all about going forward. We're not looking back. We did that. We evaluated what, you know, the good and the bad was from a year ago. And, you know, we've made the corrections we need to make, both as coaches, both as players, as a roster, as the whole thing. Now it's about, you know, 2025, and it's about going forward. And so, you know, that's our mindset, and that'll be, you know, our attitude.
Who are some of the guys you think will have big impacts in terms of the pass rush this season?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, there's several names. There's, you know, guys returning in terms of Brandon Jennings and you know, Deontay Anderson. But then you look at the guys we added with the Sillas and, you know, Nave Sanders and Jameel on the inside, Jare Bledsoe. You know, there's guys in Red Hibbler to the field, Will Whitson. You know, there's a lot of names, man, and that's a good thing. And, you know, excited to see who goes out and earns, you know, the starting jobs, but also with that depth, how we can roll guys in and, like you said, affect the quarterback.
How tempting is it to just almost overwork Isaac Smith because he can do so many things out there?
Yeah, I mean, he's a workhorse, right? He loves it, loves the game, plays the game the right way, practices the game the right way. And so we have to be smart in terms of his workload and his capacity because he's not going to stop. And so, you know, that's on us, right? That's on me. And he's also a year older and mature and knows, you know, how to communicate when maybe he's sore or something's going on. So, you know, excited for him going forward here and the season he's going
to
have.
We've seen Stonka Burnside make the swap to defense. How much were you and the defensive staff aware of his ability and his production in high school?
Yeah, I mean, I recruited Stonka out of high school at another place. I've told Stonka since day one that, you know, he's born to be on the defensive side of the ball. Even last year when he was playing wideout, he was running down on punt and, you know, making every tackle for us on special teams. So, you know, he's got a bright future. He's done a great job in making the transition. It's an unselfish thing for someone to do that, right? You know, look forward to a great camp from him to take another step forward towards, you know, helping us play good defense.
I asked you about the younger guys, and Tyler Lockhart was kind of the headliner of that class last year. We all know about the recruitment that he had and all, but from terms of him just picking up, you know, what you're putting down right now, I mean, what have you seen from him in the spring and in the summer so far?
Yeah, he had a great spring, and really when you look at his spring, he got better and better every practice, right? And went out, had a really good spring game and had a good scrimmage before that towards the end. So, you know, more and more comfort by him just in the system and in the scheme and the things we're asking him to do, a little, you know, maybe different from what he did at Winona. So excited about his future, you know, what that future looks like and the immediate, you know, playing time and all that, that's up to him and you know, his ability to show it, not only to me, but to his teammates as well.
Outside of Hutzler, Robbie, anything else stand out to you yesterday from our conversations with Mississippi State's assistant coaches and with general manager Mark Votler?
Just, you know, I really like hearing them single out and individualize guys and who's standing out, things like that. And, you know, it was good to hear that, you know, Fluff Bothwell is a guy really standing out at running back. That's he needs to be.
Yeah.
You would like to see him on the field and be a big part of things. And Anthony Tucker, I just wrote that story up to put online. He is really high on Fluff and how quickly he has picked things up as just a second year guy in college football. So he's shown a lot of maturity to go along with kind of the playfulness that he has as a guy that's only 18, 19 years old at this point. But really impressed with the running back group and what we heard from Anthony Tucker. I liked some of the things that we heard from Phil Loadholt too on the offensive line. Mm-hmm. He thinks he has a lot of versatility there, guys that can move around, play different positions inside or out. And it sounds like he's going to move guys around and rotate. So you won't see the same five at all times. You might not see a guy that you think is going to be the right tackle playing right tackle. He might be inside. You might see a guy that you think is going to play guard playing center. So there's a lot of options there at offensive line. I thought we heard some really interesting things from Mark Votler for sure. Just on the what's going on behind the scenes in college football, because there's been so many changes in this sport and in athletics as a whole over the last couple of years. It's kind of tough to keep up at this point. And those guys are having to keep up on a daily basis and make sure they're following the rules correctly and making sure they're ahead of the curve. And he firmly believes that Mississippi State has been ahead of the curve in football and in athletics as a whole, and that they transition very well. And he likes how things are going. I was really impressed with what he said about Jeff Lebby and the belief that he has in him as a guy that worked for Nick Saban. He's worked at Ohio State and places around the country that, you know, is big time college football. And he really trusts and believes in what Jeff Lebby is doing. So really interesting stuff from him as well. But, yeah, it was nice to talk to every coach and kind of get their thoughts on each individual group. And they were all kind of lockstep, like in this group being a different kind of group than they had last year. And, yeah. I mean, what do you expect, right? I mean, what do you expect them to say? Are they supposed to come out and say, hey, we got a long way to go? It looks like we might be 2-10 again this year. You guys might as well not come to the football games. They're not going to say anything like that. They're going to be optimistic about this team. But I truly believe them and what they're saying about the locker room and the culture that they're building and the talent that they've added and the size and the depth. It's a group that they feel can help them kind of get back on track here. And I hope it does.
The two things that stood out to me yesterday the most were, A, I just didn't have a good read on what Lode Holt's personality was. I thought he was going to be like a super energetic guy. He's very chill. Very chill.
Very chill.
I was like a little, not taken aback, but I was just like, I thought he was going to be walking in like, what's going on, everybody? You know, like a I don't know what I was thinking, but that's what I was thinking right there. The other thing is maybe David Turner's just the most old school guy and just wants to poor mouth. But man, did he crap on everything we've said about Jamil Burrows? Like he's got to stay in shape. I'm like, hold up, like,
well,
it's July.
That's how Turner is.
I guess it is, but like, I don't like to hear that, man. Like, it's July. This guy should be in shape. If he's not in shape, then why are we even talking about him? Like, I'm not doing the Nwoko thing with Jamil Burrows. I'm not doing that.
I haven't heard that with Burrows.
Well,
I mean, we heard it yesterday,
but that's the first time I've heard it. So
you just said he had to stay in, like he said he had to stay in shape, but that's, I mean, I just think that's just a general comment.
You think that's just Turner just being an old school coach is what you think?
Well, I mean, I've heard Turner say that about Chris Jones.
Mm.
You know, he used to poor mouth Chris Jones at times. It's a motivational tactic in my mind.
Okay.
But I have not heard that about Jamil Burrows. He's out of shape. He can't handle it or whatever. I just think that's probably Turner just kind of staying on the motivational side of things and trying to keep guys locked in. He's not a guy that has ever really pumped up his group.
Mm-hmm.
Even when he was loaded at a defensive line, he's just kind of
– yeah.
He's tried to keep things steady. I'm not worried about all that.
All right, I'm going to hold you to that, my friend.
Vince McMahon has been accused of causing a crash.
Saw that. In
Connecticut.
Saw that yesterday. Did you not see the retweet I did?
No, I just saw WCBI News post this.
Some guy had like, if I got into a car wreck with Vince McMahon, this is how it would come to court. And it's one of those when Vince McMahon was like in the wheelchair with the neck brace and everything. I mean, that's exactly how I would show up if Vince McMahon hit me. I would look like I'd been hit with a tank.
The problem is Vince is going to show up that way.
Yeah.
You're talking about the ultimate showman.
Like, he hit me, Your Honor. It was him. That's
my neck is damaged. I have a cracked vertebra.
I haven't been able to perform, if you know what I'm saying, Your Honor. So, anyway.
The genetic jackhammer's no longer in business. For the love of God.
Let's move into the rest of the show. That's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoked Meats. I'm headed to Two Brothers as soon as we finish up to go talk with our friend Barton about the not fall camp tour. Headed to Two Brothers Smoked Meats presented by Pearl River Resort on August the 13th. We're going to get all the details of that hammered away. I may have some big news about a giveaway very soon. Very soon. Something you're not going to want to miss out on. So when I have that information, you know I'll pass along. I'll pass along some information right now. The food at Two Brothers is awesome, and I'm probably going to go eat some of it. Just why not? And you should, too. If you're going to be in Starkville anytime soon around the Cotton District, Two Brothers Smoke Meats, the older brother, you know those are the places you want to go. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. That's what they've been doing for 50 years.
50. Brother.
I got a copier. Hit him. Hit him with a printer. I don't know that Advantage Business Systems will cover the damages. I don't know if they can help you if you use the printer as a weapon. But if you're just using your printer and it goes wrong, you know the number to call, because they will take care of you with the service after the sale that you expect. That's the difference between being a neighbor and being a number. That's the difference that is provided by Advantage Business Systems. 601-362-9192, or visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. If you're going to be in Starkville this upcoming football season, you need to make some trips to Maroon & Co. Everybody wants to get new gear when they come to Starkville. You always want to, like, I need a new polo. I need a new hat. You always talk yourself into it. Well, talk yourself into a trip to Maroon & Co. to get the biggest and best selection of Mississippi State gear out there. Again, I think we mentioned a couple, like last week, they're doing some changes there. They're going to have less of the casual wear that they have. They've always had a pretty great selection of non-Mississippi State gear up there. But they're going to focus more in on the Mississippi State stuff. They've got some great new items in, and they're bringing in those branded Bills interlocking hats. The branded Bills hats are the hottest brand out there right now, and they will be the exclusive provider of those. So if you want one, there's nowhere else to go but Maroon & Co. Use our promo code THUNDER15 to save 15% off regular price. Next time you're in Starkville, make sure you have a trip to Maroon & Co. on the agenda. We're almost to the weekend, which means you're going to be out in the yard working. Put some John Deere power at your back. Go get a new John Deere mower, a Gator, a compact tractor at our friends Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo. They make it easier to work in the lawn. They make it easier to work in your garden. They make it easier to cook out. They make it easier to do repair projects around your house. How do they make it easier? By having everything you need in one location. There's no job around the house that you can't find the tool for at Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden. So head up there this weekend. If you've got anything to do around your house, a trip to Saltillo will save you some time. And you know what you're thinking. You're like, I don't live anywhere near Saltillo. Heading to Saltillo is going to save you time in the future. Make that trip to Scruggs. Buy what you need there, and then you're going to have it, and you don't have to worry about it ever again. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden, they have what you want for less. All right, opponent preview time. Let's talk about Texas A&M. Let's go first to my interview with TexAgs Radio's David Nuno to get his thoughts on the Aggies, and I asked him a question about Mississippi State transfer Malik Silla. As you know, all of our interviews here on Thunder and Lightning are brought to you by Alora Modern Wellness. Summer is a time where you're outside, you're sweating, you're working hard, you're trying to get that body the way you want it. Gosh knows that I'm trying to do the same, but you've got to be able to recover out there if you want to be at your peak performance, and that's what the good people at Alora Modern Wellness are going to bring to you. Whatever recovery method works best for you, they've got a plan that can get you feeling better from the way you walked in the door to the when you walk out. And that's all I really want. I want to know that when I walk in, I'm sore, I'm achy. When I walk out, I'm going to feel like myself again and ready to get back after it. Go talk to my friend Rich Lopez today. Tell him that you want to feel better, and he's going to put together a plan just for you. Check out their website at aloramodernwellness.com. You can book everything right there on the website. It's easy. And it's going to make you feel a lot better. You have my guarantee on that. Let's go down to my interview with David Nuno from TexAgs Radio. Let's talk about Maroon versus Maroon. Let's talk Mississippi State and Texas A&M with David Nuno from TexAgs Radio. He's been on this a few times. I've been on his program a few times. So I thought it was, you know, 10 weeks in, I was like, this is the year. They're going to break through. This is the year for Texas A&M. And, obviously we know how the season ended. What's the mood in College Station going into this year? Is it hopeful that this is the year, or is there some concern that it's just going to be another year where they feel like they've underachieved at the end?
Well, I'll say that in 2020, we felt like it should have been the year because they were 9-1, right? And that I think that potentially that year changes the way we look at Jimbo Fisher's run at A&M, right?
Right.
9-1, top five finish, but they didn't get into the playoffs, and I think they should have gotten into the playoffs. But moving on from that, I think, unfortunately, people allow the last couple of regimes at A&M to kind of color the way we look at this football team.
Mm-hmm.
But there's optimism for sure, right? Everybody sees that Coach Elko is recruiting at an extremely high level. Everybody sees how close they were last year, literally a play or two away from being at the SEC championship game. You beat Auburn, which you should have, mm-hmm. Without your best running back in Le'Veon Moss, your best offensive player. with multiple quarterbacks over the last few years. Like, you know, you were very close. I don't know what this season looks like, Brian, because I think they can be pretty special, but I cannot, when you look at that schedule, going to Baton Rouge, which A&M has not won since 1994, going to Notre Dame, which is going to be hard. They're not the same Notre Dame team as last year, but they're still a top five, top 10 team, right? And going to Austin. I don't think Texas is as good as they were last year. That doesn't mean they aren't a playoff team. That's not a slight at Arch. It's not a slight at Sark. Like, I don't know if they're as good as they were last year because they're, you know, we're in a different era of college football where, 14 guys go to the NFL, 14 guys are waiting. I think they have 14 guys waiting too. They're just unproven in my eyes. I don't follow them close enough, just like Georgia's got guys, but Georgia's at least done it a little bit longer. So long way of saying there's optimism, but there's also like, can we win on the road? Because we haven't done that against top teams in a long time.
One of the things that impressed me about Elko last season was, you know, I remember talking to you preseason about Connor Wigman, and I was just like, I like this kid a lot. I think he's got a lot of talent. And then when they made the move to Marcel Reed, that's a different kind of quarterback. And yet it was pretty seamless, and he was successful right away. And now he's got the full season at the controls. You know, how much of a step can Marcel Reed take forward this year?
Well, let me ask you this. What are your opinions of DJ Lagway?
I'm a big fan, but, you know, I know where you're going with this, but I'm a big fan of Lagway. I'll put it that way.
I am too.
I'm all SEC.
I'm a huge fan of Lagway. I'm going to just talk statistics here, okay? Because I look at Lagway and I see just a mammoth of a human being that's got, you know, I understand why he's a five-star and why people talk about him so highly. But if you look at Marcel Reed's stats and you look at DJ Lagway's stats, they're pretty similar. The difference is winning games in November as opposed to losing games in November, okay? You know, Lagway won games in November. They were a great story at the end of the football season. A&M lost games in November. Now, did they lose games because of Marcel Reed? Marcel Reed put them in position to win the Auburn game. The defense let them down in the last minute of the game and also in overtime. Marcel Reed put A&M in position to win the USC game with a couple of minutes left. The defense let them down. USC came around and won. Marcel Reed struggled against Texas. I don't know what quarterback didn't struggle against Texas, right? So what I'm saying to you is the perception of Marcel Reed is slightly slanted because of the way the defense performed at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. I think Marcel Reed's a really nice quarterback. He's got to prove that he can throw down the field more often and see the open receivers, which, by the way, most young quarterbacks have to learn how to do that. Right. It is, especially when they weren't expecting. They thought they were the understudy. Mm-hmm. Right. So I think Marcel can take a step. But the beauty of it is, I don't think A&M's season depends on Marcel Reed being a top five quarterback. Right. Now, he's got to be a top eight quarterback in the SEC, in my opinion. But when you've got a potentially groundbreaking rushing attack with Le'Veon Moss, who was excellent last year, 1A or 1B while healthy in the SEC. Reuben Owens finally healthy. Amari Daniels, who's the most forgotten guy who's put up big numbers, you know, the last few years for Texas A&M as the third running back. When you've got a veteran offensive line, when you now have some wide receivers that can get separation, I don't think Marcel has to take a huge step. I need him to take a step, but if the rest of the group does what I think they're capable of, it won't be all on Marcel's shoulders. What I ask for is, can he develop throwing the ball down the field, which I think he can, and can he stay healthy? Because A&M hasn't had a healthy quarterback in forever.
I don't know if it's the best receiving group in the SEC, but if you ask me to say who's the most explosive, most big play potential, I might go with Texas A&M. Concepcion was really good these past couple of years at NC State. I love Terry Bussey. I think he's a really good player. And then obviously I saw Mario Craver firsthand. That's a kid that if he keeps his head on straight, the sky's the limit for him. Is this going to be a big play offense, in your opinion?
That's the hope. That is the hope. Look, last year's wide receiver group, they were nice, okay? I don't think that they were explosive by any stretch. Noah Thomas now at Georgia, A&M would benefit greatly with Noah Thomas still being at A&M because he's a big threat. But I wouldn't say separation was his thing, right? And when you got legs like Marcel, that's going to keep hopefully defenses honest. And you got a guy like Casey Concepcion who can get separation. You got a guy like Mario Craver who can get separation. You got a guy like Terry Bussey who was 17 last year, came into the season thinking he was going to play defensive back and then transitioned early because of necessity to play wide receiver.
I thought only Ryan Williams was 17 last year.
There right?
A 17-year-old who told me.
Yeah, but he I think he became 18 during the season. But my point was he had to learn not that he had to learn it because he was a multifaceted player in high school, but he thought he was going to be one position and then he was a different position, right? So you got that. And, you know, he was a young player. And then you also have like all the hiccups at quarterback. So, yeah, I think they can be a big play team. But knowing Coach Elko being a defensive minded head coach, they're going to be a ball control offense that can take the top off from time to time. And I think Craver's going to benefit greatly from that.
Defensively, where's your concern with this team?
There's a lot of concern, all right, and I'll take it. But I think they're going to be improved from last year, which is weird to say when you lose three day one, day two guys on the defensive line, right? But that defensive line at the end of the year did not produce sacks. Now, they were able to get to the backfield. That defense last year had a hard time finishing plays, all right? They would play really well, and they'd give up a huge play. That can't happen this year. So my concern are a couple places. The secondary, Willie was, you know, they call him the blanket. He was great.
Mm-hmm.
But the opposite side, there were some questions, right? Des Ricks has to grow, and I think he will grow. Tyreek Chappelle, the nickel last year, was injured after, week three? And he is a huge part of the defense. Huge. Started as a freshman. So, you know, he's a senior. So that tells you a lot about Tyreek Chappelle. So he's coming back. You pick up Julian Humphreys from Georgia, who started a lot of games for Georgia, started 10 last year. Like, I think the secondary should be improved. Dalton Brooks seems to be a beast, but they got to prove it to me. Linebackers, they're not flashy. They're steady. Torian York gets a lot of press clippings as he deserves it. And I think Scooby Williams last year was really good, but played injured all season long. I think the linebackers are fine. There is question at defensive line, no doubt about it. Cassius Howell flashed a lot last year. Albert Regis was steady and consistent on the defensive line. We got to see Rylan Kennedy grow up. We got to see DJ Hicks grow up. There's some others that have to grow up. There's nice transfers that they brought in. So if I were to say what my concern is finishing plays and how does that defensive line grow with new faces? And does the secondary, do they learn how to limit the big plays? Because that was a big problem last year.
You know, we talk about new faces, and it's almost exclusively now with the transfer portal. But you mentioned the elite recruiting that Mike Elko has been putting together. Who's a freshman who can make an impact for Texas A&M this year?
I'll give you a couple of names, but one for sure is going to be Marco Jones. I think Marco Jones is going to surprise a lot of folks, but I don't think he's a defensive end. He doesn't need to be that guy day one, right? But he's a guy that I think we can absolutely – what do you have, 6 sacks in the spring game? Beast could play baseball at A&M if he wanted to. That's a possibility, by the way. I think Marco Jones is a name that a lot of people are going to talk about, but he doesn't have to be the guy right away. He can grow into that role, but he looks like a man-child as a freshman. The other one is, I'm going to say Jerome Miles, the wide receiver from Utah, who is just another man-child, was not here in the spring, so it may take him a little bit longer. He was injured his last year. Coming from the state of Utah, I think he's a big-bodied receiver in the Noah Thomas mold that they desperately need, and he's a guy that you're going to see some ball thrown his way. It's going to take him, just like all freshmen, a little time to get acclimated. Don't put too much stock, like last year Coach Elko told us with Terry Bussey. Look, he's a kid. He's 17, 18 years old. Let him develop. So I'm going to say the same thing about those two guys, but you're going to feel their impact for sure.
This is the stretch for Texas A&M, September 27th through October 25th. Auburn, Mississippi State, Florida at home, and then at Arkansas, at LSU. What's A&M's record in those five games?
4-1 would be ideal, right?
If that's the case, you're probably the one is the last one there, right, at LSU?
Yeah. But I'm not predicting that. I'm saying that is – so read those games again to me. There you've got
Auburn, Mississippi State, Florida, at Arkansas, at LSU. That's a heck of a month.
Yeah. So this is where I'm scared of Arkansas, even though I think Arkansas is going to be bad. Yeah. I'm scared of them because A&M has not played on the road at Arkansas since 2012, 2011, right? So it's been forever, right?
Yeah.
that series is always A&M has dominated, but it's wacky, right? So you got Arkansas, Auburn. I think you're better than Auburn. You were better than Auburn last year, and you lost, right? So I think you're better than Auburn. Florida, you beat them in Marcell's first start ever, but Florida's going to be better. But you get them at Kyle Field. Kyle Field's got to matter for something, right? And it has. You could say that, oh, what does Kyle Field mean if you lost to Texas by 10 and didn't score an offensive touchdown? If you were to watch that game could have been a blowout. But A&M's defense, which struggled all season long, made plays when they had to. So Kyle Field does matter. So I think A&M will be favored in all those games but LSU. I think they'll be favored against Florida.
Yeah, I think so.
And I think they'll be favored against Mississippi State. I kid. But they should. They should be favored in these games.
You're being serious. I was like, you think?
I kid, but with a lot of respect. You know how much A&M has struggled going to Mississippi State, much less the 21 game where Mississippi State came here and took care of business on a year that I thought A&M could have been better than 8-4. That's the big 41-38 year where they beat Alabama at Kyle Field after losing to Mississippi State the week prior, by the way. So I say all that to you in that I could see 4-1, but look how many SEC games come down to one or two plays. If you start fixing mistakes, 4-1 is likely. And by the way, I think LSU is going to be pretty good, but they got some questions to answer as well.
Yeah, agreed. All right, when you had me on your program at SEC Media Days, you asked me about Mario Craver, so I'm going to return the favor here. I know he didn't play much at Texas A&M, but what is State getting in Malik Sylla?
I think, you know what, he's a guy who could have played here, right? I love Malik Sylla's game. It just, again, when you're playing with that many dudes that are NFL bound, you might be NFL bound yourself, but there's a waiting. And in today's college football, you don't have to wait, right? And he waited. He was a good guy for a couple years here at A&M, right? He was a nice player. I think he's going to make some plays, and I don't know the rest of the defense, but he's going to be a name that you guys are talking about on your show quite often, Brian. I'm telling you, he's going to make some plays for you. Nice young man. I wish he would have stayed. He was a very nice player.
We'll see what it brings. Mississippi State, Texas A&M on October the 4th, starting off the month of October. I want to pass an idea along. I've thought this for a long time. I want you to get to your friends at A&M. I'll get to my people at State. I say this game needs to have some stakes to it. The winner the next year gets to wear maroon, and the loser has to wear all white. I think that should be – home or away, the loser of this game has to wear all white the next season.
I think that's a great idea. I think I'm all in.
All right. You run up your flagpole, I'll run it up mine. And
I will tell you, though, I don't remember what State looks like in their icy whites, but I know A&M looks pretty stinking cool.
State's icy whites are very good. We've also talked about having like a dog bowl, like between, you know, Reveille and Bully.
Yeah.
Just like a dog bowl trophy. I don't know, something between these two schools. We need something.
I'm all in for that. Yeah, so let's go icy whites. So the icy whites are the loser?
I mean, I think the winner should be able to claim maroon for the year.
I got it for you. How about this? Okay. Winner picks.
I don't mind that. I don't mind that. So we'll see how it goes. David Nuno, Texas Radio, always a pleasure, man. I'll talk to you again during the season.
I appreciate you, Brian. Take care, buddy.
Robbie, you and I, when we talk about State, we've been saying, you know, I want to see it. I don't want to dive in too deep before I see it on the field. I'm the same way with A&M. Now, I think they'll be obviously much better than Mississippi State, but I'm not buying into Texas A&M, the playoff contender, until I see them, you know, maybe win at Notre Dame, or, you know, they're sitting at 7-1 after their first eight games or something like that. Even then, two of their final three are three of their final four, at Missouri, South Carolina, and then at Texas. I mean, I almost feel like I have to wait till the last game to have the real feel of what Texas A&M is going to be this year.
Yeah, I'm not jumping on the bandwagon for Texas A&M until I see it. And I think that's fair for anybody to have very that. If for the people that come out every single year and like, this is a dark horse national champion, like, what are you doing to yourself? I don't understand it. I think they're talented as always. I think they have a more competent coach than they did.
Yeah,
but until they actually show it, I don't know if I can jump on board with this team and say this is a playoff team, or this team's going to contend for national championship. I just they always seem to underperform, so I can't get there yet. I'm going to wait and see, and if they do, I'll give them their props.
That's fair. I think it's absolutely fair. I mean, I like Marcel Reed a lot. I think he's a good young quarterback. I feel like he gets lost in the shuffle, right? We're so locked in on Arch and Gunnar Stockton, Lagway, Sellers. Reed had a really good year, as you heard in that interview. You know, his stats are right there with Lagway's from a season ago. The difference is Lagway won at the end of the season and Marcel Reed lost. Le'Veon Moss is probably the best running back in the conference when he's healthy. They've got some good players. I like that receiving core. Craver and Concepcion are good transfers coming in. They should be explosive. If they can be pretty good defensively, they're going to be a team that you don't want to play. But at the same time, it's just a mental thing at this point, right? It's just something going on there. The football gods are in play at this point with Texas A&M.
I think it's the athletic department.
Oh, yeah?
I mean, what have they done outside of a women's basketball national title? What have they done for the last? I mean, I don't think they've won a men's national championship in like almost 100 years or something like that.
It's been a long time.
So there's something there culture wise that's not allowing them to get to the pinnacle. I mean, it's not money or resources. They're playing in a state that's one of the most talent rich states in America. They got all the money in the world. They're just not getting it done. Now, I look at the schedule, and there is a possibility this team could go 10-2 this year.
Mm-hmm.
But will they is the problem.
Yeah. No Georgia, no
Texas
Alabama.
Texas on the road.
Yeah.
It's going to be rough.
Yeah. No Georgia, no Alabama, no Ole Miss.
You get Texas and LSU on the road. I think both of those are losses.
Yeah. But if that's the only two losses, you're probably in the playoff.
If.
Yeah. That's if. It's an if.
Missouri on the road is not easy. You know, Arkansas on the road. Arkansas finds a way, it seems like, to upset somebody just about every year.
Yeah.
Florida's going to be better.
And David mentioned Arkansas because they haven't played at Arkansas in over a decade. They've been playing that game at Jerry World, and now they're back on campus this year.
Yep. And also, this has been one of the worst – teams that I would consider good year in and year out that like in home games.
Mm-hmm.
Like that they have not been great in big games at home. They beat Alabama a few years ago, but Kyle Field has been a place where teams can go in and win ball games.
Yeah.
Which is strange because that was always considered one of the great atmospheres in college football. But you know, since they've been in the SEC, it's been a winnable game for teams. Mississippi State's going in there and won a couple of times.
Right.
So, you know, they're playing at Notre Dame. I don't know.
We will see. All right,
I think it's a 9-3, 8-4 team, personally. But
8-4 would hurt them again. I mean, it's just become a meme at this point. But we'll see if they can get over that hump. Let's see. Next week is Tennessee. We've got four more of these to do and four more.
All right.
So we'll do that next week. All right, guys. Tomorrow's show, we're going to talk cornerbacks. We'll have audio from Corey Bell as well and his conversation with us at Media Day. There's something else. I almost forgot. Robbie, we got homework. Tomorrow's show is the All 22 rankings. We will have our annual look at the entire – what we project as the starting lineup, and we'll give you our thoughts on who we trust the most for Mississippi State. That's tomorrow's show. Guys, have a good one. Talk to you again on Friday. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.